Hey there, it's Matthew. So happy you're with us on another episode of Learn From People Who Lived It. Actually, we're going to take a quick break from Learn From People Who Lived It because I've got somebody that I want to introduce you to. As you guys may or may not know, I serve as a podcast consultant for several people, and what I do is I help people who have an idea for a podcast make it real. So if you're sitting out there and you've been thinking about, you know, I want to start a podcast, we should connect and talk because I can literally get you from that idea to recorded, to released, to people listening to it, and there's nothing I love more than setting other people up for success, especially people like Lauren Bernard, who I'm going to feature on this episode of Learn From People Who Lived It. She came to me with a concept for a podcast called Nourish You, and she's really got three things that she wants to tackle, and I'm going to let her explain that in just a couple of moments, but the episode I'm going to share with you today is one that she just recorded a couple of weeks ago, and what I loved about this episode was the way that it started. Like right out of the gate, they're talking about this concept that as working moms, we're expected to, or they're expected to go to work like they don't have any children, and then when they come home, they're expected to parent like they don't have a full-time job. And what a mess that can be for so many people. So they're going to sort that out and a few other things. Plus, Lauren's going to take you through a guided meditation at the end, turn you on to one of her favorite mocktails, and a whole lot more. So if you're into podcasting, I'm asking you right now to go to the Nourish You podcast and hit that subscribe button. Without further ado, here is Lauren Bernard and her brand new podcast called Nourish You.
So what I found in my own experience and talking to working moms is, you know, you go to work and you're expected to behave as if you don't have kids. And you come home and you're expected to behave like a full-time mom. It breaks my heart.
Hey there, and welcome to our first episode of the Nourish You podcast. I'm your host, Lauren Bernard. This podcast was created to help you find three things: lasting peace, contentment, and the ability to truly enjoy your human experience. To do that, we're here today with Courtney Walker.
Hello.
Certified life coach and NLP practitioner. So let's dive in and walk through how to shift our mindsets. And also today on this episode, I've got a delicious and delightful mocktail for you to try and a yoga pose if you're looking for relief from lower back pain, hip discomfort. So Courtney and I met earlier in 23.
Yeah.
I think through an introduction of a mutual friend. We have to give Erica a shout out.
Yeah. Thanks, Erica.
She's amazing. Introducing us, knowing we would connect. And so Courtney is, I feel like, a perfect person to start the show off because through her mindset work, your life experience of being a mother, and I just think you have a beautiful balance, whether you see that or not from the outside looking in, balancing having three little ones, I think a role model-like partnership, and a really purpose-driven career.
Oh, wow.
So
thank you.
I just really admire what you're doing in the world and was happy to have you come on.
Well, that means a lot coming from you, who I also share those same sentiments with you. Yes. So thank you. That's very meaningful to me.
Absolutely. Let's talk a little bit about you. So also, those of you that are going to be following along the show are going to hear quite a bit about human design through various different episodes. And so let's just kick it off with Courtney is a manifesting generator like myself and is with a 1-3 profile. So for all the 1-3s out there, like my son Aiden, tell me, what can you not stop Googling right now?
Oh, man. Well, I've recently gotten into quite a bit of like the manifestation story. Mm-hmm. At the end of last year, I took a course which kind of overlapped into the new year. Mm-hmm. And there's just this whole world of knowledge about manifestation. And so that's really something that I've been really intrigued with and interested in. And of course, like, it aligns with my professional journey as well. So it's personal and professional for me. and something that I bring in conversation with my clients and my audience on social media. It's just something that I know I'm on the surface of, like I've touched the surface of it, and there's a lot more to learn about it. But that's something that I've just been like nose to my phone, just so interested in. And I so, yeah,
one manifestation always surprise us. Like I didn't think that was on the radar, and I'm really excited to hear this.
Yeah.
So, and as a manifesting generator, you also have like this like visionary aspect to who you are and the process of things, and sort of seeing the cart before the horse. So what's like standing out in, because this also is like really in line with your work as an NLP practitioner, which we're going to get to, but tell me what is like standing out the most fascinating about manifesting things.
Yeah. So it's really, so the specific, I'm going to talk a little bit about the course because I think it's really important, but the course is very rooted also in the moon cycle. And so for me, it was really valuable for me to learn about the astrological piece of it, the moon cycle, and then also how that combines with just us as humans and how our body responds and is connected so, so closely to nature in general. And so what I took away from it is that we have the power within us to create the world that we desire.
Yeah.
And without being too like woo-woo about it, because there's a little bit of woo-woo about it, and depending on, you know, your own experience and your own story, you could definitely take that perspective on it. And I think I did, right? Probably if I would have talked to my 20-year-old self, I would have agreed. There's no like logical reason to create your own world, but as my own experience has designed, it absolutely is possible for you to create your own world and to generate and manifest what you want and what you desire. And it's also like a lot of the mindset work that I work with my clients, which is very rooted in neuroscience and mindset. So it's just...
There's an absolute connection.
Yeah, there's an absolute connection. You just have to be able to see the forest through the trees.
I love this. Yeah. Beautiful.
Yeah.
You'll have to share that course so I can link it up in the show notes for people and so I can check it out myself.
Yeah, absolutely.
And I so want to dig more into power of the mind, but I would also love to ask you, because I think this is a great question for everyone that comes on the show and will really help us learn more about you really quickly. So tell me from your perspective what you think needs to be nourished in the human experience / reality so that we can move towards an ideal world. Now, this could be like for you personally, career-wise, job field. This could also be global, collective, sort of energetic. But maybe just paint us a picture. Like what do you see in idealistic potential for the human experience?
That's a really great question.
It's my favorite.
I love that question. Immediately when you asked that question, I thought, we just need to tune out the noise. So often we are influenced and sometimes even like not even knowing. I think I've heard you describe it like a radio frequency. Like we're just continually catching these radio waves into ourselves and we don't even know it, right? The energies and the vibes and all of that type of external things that we can't control. But we can't control that, but we can control our own internal environment. So if we're able to tune out and just recognize what we're in control of and tune into ourselves and recognize that everything that we seek resides somewhere within us. My favorite thing to say when somebody asks me a question, right? There, sometimes it's an opinion about something, like a client needs an opinion about something, or even like my spouse recently asked me a question, and I just look at them and I say, I think it's interesting you're asking me that question, right? What do you think about it? And the fact that a question is asked means that there is something inside of them generating enough to ask that question. So if in an ideal world, to create that ideal world, one, it always starts with you as an individual and being able to tune out things that you are able to tune out mm-hmm. by creating this very stable internal environment that's rooted in alignment, authenticity. Mm-hmm. And so I think to be able to generate that ideal world, it starts with tuning into yourself.
Yeah. And we don't really arrive at the ability to answer this question without having fumbled our way to it.
Yes.
So I'm guessing there's more of a story there.
Yeah.
Do you want to share more about like how you arrived at knowing you needed the stillness?
Yeah. My journey to wellness and nourishment of my own soul really started, I would say, in early 20s. Mm-hmm. Quite a bit of soul seeking, quite a bit of looking at it from like a codependency perspective, right? There's lots of different ways to look at where the journey starts, but really it started there. And it evolved into from like a therapeutic journey into a coaching journey where I ended up acknowledging that I got everything I needed from therapy and then moving into the place of forward looking into a coach. And so working with a coach very early on to gain the tools to recognize I have to, you know, those answers live within me, the wisdom lives within me. And so I gained those tools to be able to get to the next place. Mm-hmm. And I always went back to that coach pretty regularly as I changed and evolved, new relationships, new goals, new aspirations. And I consistently saw that person for probably about 2 years. And then ultimately decided like, that is what I want to do. Yeah. That is who I am called to be, is that person. Mm. Who she was for me, I was being called to be that person for someone else. So that was really the launching part for me of my own journey, not only personally, but also professionally.
I love that. So you found your way through some obstacles, some challenges. What do you think gets in the way for most people of being able to find that centeredness, the aligned place?
Yeah.
Like knowing how to find the tools. Like this, it's a rare person that can do what you did, I think.
Yeah.
What do you think gets in the way for people?
That's a really, really good question. And I think that, you know, I can only speak from my experience and even from the experience of my clients that mm-hmm. I've seen. And if you're listening to this, that's a question that you might even want to ask yourself is, you know, I've heard that there's wisdom inside of me. What is stopping me from claiming that wisdom?
Yeah.
And the answers are going to vary, right? It might be, I'm scared. And straight up, it is scary. You start down that journey and you don't know what's at the end or what answer you might arrive at. Or you know what answer you're going to arrive at, and that's also scary. That might be the fear of it. And I would say it's probably a pretty big one, is the fear of it.
Yeah.
And the unknown piece of what is going to happen next.
Yeah.
A lot of the times it's hard to, another thing is hard to look at ourselves. And I think, you know, I had met with a mom recently, and it was hard for her to look at herself and recognize that there might be some vulnerability that's needed to change what she had set in motion, especially from a parenting perspective, and how her decisions were impacting her children.
Sure.
And so it's fear, it's looking in the mirror.
Mm-hmm.
Those are just a couple of examples, but it's all going to be
time accepting responsibility for the things we feel ashamed of, whether consciously or unconsciously. And we have a hard time, I think, distracting ourselves away from, like, we want to not feel that as much as possible and escape from it. And probably also too, I was thinking that, you know, that I kind of lost it, but maybe it'll come back to me as we keep talking about it. It just like went away. So
yeah,
I was going to comment something else really powerful kind of stood out about this person but I can't quite grasp it in words now.
Yeah.
It's like images come and go.
Yeah.
But keep telling me more about the clients. A little something.
Yeah. And I want to just close with like, with that topic. If that's you that is experiencing that, like maybe you asked yourself that question of personally, I don't want to look at myself, that shame piece that came up for you, mm-hmm. like just take a moment and do some deep breaths right now. Because mm-hmm. If that elicited anything inside of you, like it's important for you to acknowledge it and just breathe through it. Because that can be something that comes up as you start to reflect on the process of yeah. why don't you want to be on that journey being coached or, you know, on the journey to just wellness in general.
Yeah, absolutely. We distract ourselves. And so we find our way to maybe realizing that the dominating pain of distracting and not being able to find the centeredness. And maybe you start to notice that there might be something more going on that you need help with. Mm-hmm. So how does neuro-linguistic practice work?
Yeah.
Do you want to share with us maybe an example of what that work is like?
Yeah. So neuro-linguistic programming, or NLP for short, the best way to describe it, and it's truly like this is really in the weeds of what NLP is, but I think the best way to describe it is your brain is a computer, mm-hmm. and your behavior, your language, the way that you think or your thoughts, those are all like how your brain is programmed, right? Mm-hmm. And you are a coder, right? So let's go with that analogy. NLP is the tool to help you decode your thoughts, your behavior, your language.
Yeah.
Okay. And in coaching, the techniques that we use, because as a coach, I also observe and learn how you think, how you are, your language and your behavior patterns, all in an effort to then kind of uproot mm-hmm. any kind of weeds.
Yeah.
So maybe you don't like a thought. Maybe there's mm-hmm. an unuseful thought that you have. Maybe that there's a behavior you're just not finding to be useful anymore. Your language is not supportive of your growth. Those are all kind of like weeds in your brain. As a coach, I work to uproot them and then use techniques that are related to NLP. So like reframing and refocusing to then plant different things that are useful.
Okay.
So useful thoughts, useful language, useful behavioral patterns
yes.
to then have you water and grow so that it becomes more useful towards your goals.
Okay, this is making so much sense. I want to share that when I was 22, I was fresh out of college and I found myself in my first teaching job. I was mm-hmm. teaching sixth grade in a self-contained classroom in Central Phoenix. It was also a bilingual program, so we taught 2 weeks in Spanish, 2 weeks in English. I barely passed the proficiency test, but I did. And I was completely in over my head in so many ways. And to the point where mid-year, I literally thought I was like dying. And I put myself into therapy because I didn't know how I was going to like keep going with this life path I had chosen that felt so off. So like you said, I just couldn't find like the quiet underneath the maddening sort of like thoughts and sensations. And I just felt like I lost myself completely. Mm. So I thought for sure, like, okay, there's like this free therapy for teachers. I'm just going to do that. And this guy said to me, like, have you ever considered what this is trying to teach you? Like, no, I had never, that never occurred to me at 22 that, you know, this just was a new thought. This was revolutionary to me. And then somehow within days, a book shows up that it's called What to Say When You Talk to Yourself. And I'll have to link this book because it's phenomenal. And I hadn't even been aware of all the programming that goes into our nervous system,
mm-hmm.
the neurologic. So exactly what you're speaking to is like the figuring out the years and years of coding, that programming that's in the background operating on our day-to-day.
Yeah.
And we a lot of times don't even know how it got there. I mean, and then years fast forward, 20 years later, I'm in a situation in parenting right now. And like all of a sudden a version of me is running the show that I don't even know how it got into my energy field, yeah. into my awareness, into my body. And it's really interesting because at least in certain reactive moments you go, oh, there's something still running in the background here. I don't want it there.
Yeah.
And at some point you do realize that you can actually reprogram. So is that essentially what you do?
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, okay. And I struggle, and that language is used all the time, reprogram. And I struggle with that language of reprogram because really like it is reprogramming, but I just struggle with that language, right? Okay. Well, that's just a complete sentence right there.
Yeah.
But it is working with the client mm-hmm. to understand their experience. And how that experience doesn't have to shape what the future is. And the coolest part and one of my favorite pieces of knowledge that I carry into my work is that your brain only recognizes the present moment, mm-hmm. right?
Yes.
So if you think of a memory and you have a strong emotion attached to it, it recognizes that as a present experience, mm-hmm. right? And the same thing and the same trick on the opposite side, on the other side of the coin, is that you can think about a future experience, totally envision it, completely, you know, from all of the senses, you can smell it, touch it, hear it, see it, right? And even taste it. There's some clients that will taste it. I had one client taste Indian food in her experience. Mm. It was amazing. And create it in your mind, and your mind recognizes it. And so when it comes in the future, it's familiar to the mind and it's less likely to sabotage it.
Yes.
So these are all of like these tools to reprogram the brain.
It's more of like an integration.
Yes.
Like of the old and then choosing the new.
Yeah, it's a beautiful way to articulate it. Yeah.
I like that better too.
Yeah.
Yeah, reprogram. But it is, I think, a cool understanding to know that the majority of the things that kind of come and go, we call this in yoga the chitta vritti. Mm. It's the fluctuations of the mind, the like monkey mind, where there's like these habitual patterns that when you do get your body still, when you find your breath, you can witness kind of like outside perspective. You're looking in with this microscope, seeing what are those things that are coming and going. And from that place of awareness, you can start to say, like, I'm not the one who put that in there.
Yeah.
Somebody told me that, or the world says I should do this, X, Y, Z. So, like, I think that being able to have someone to help you figure out how to align yourself with what your real values are, like, speak to, like, your ideal client is really cool. And I think probably your ideal of the world shaped who it is that you find the need to serve.
Yeah.
The moms out there.
Yeah. I love all the moms.
Yeah.
I like when I am writing content or copy on, you know, whether it's my website or social media, I'm always like, this is my love note to all of the moms. Like that sits in my mind. Sweet. All of the working moms. Yeah. So my ideal client or my client that tends to gravitate towards me is really that working mom. Mm-hmm. And let's be real, like the term working mom can be as broad or as specific depending on who you're speaking with, because we're all working moms. But it's really that working mom who is having a hard time reconciling between their personal life and their professional life. There's like this dissonance that exists between the two, and it's almost like a really large dissonance. Mm. So what I found in my own experience and talking to working moms is, you know, you go to work and you're expected to behave as if you don't have kids, mm-hmm. right? And you come home and you're expected to behave like a full-time mom.
Yeah.
And to have to live those dualities, it breaks my heart. Mm-hmm. I live that duality and it's hard, right? You put the heels on, you go to work and you carry your weight, but you don't get to talk about it. And then you go home and you do the same thing. And so working moms are really a space and an individual that I really cherish working with. because I get to see that dissonance or that space between those two roles become less. And that's really special for me to be able to do that.
I would love to hear a little bit more about how you feel like your work impacts that, because I think not only for those who are mothers or identify as female, but there's like an imbalance in general in work of the masculine and the feminine, because we all have masculine aspects. I mean, doing really anything that's doing and giving of your energy, like for me, teaching is actually quite a masculine expression. And where feminine happens to be the more like receiving and manifesting and nurturing aspects. And it's almost like the two of them cannot dance in a traditional work setting. I think we're moving in that direction where we're finding more balance. But I think both for men, women, male, female, like all moving forward to have a more balance into that is only going to benefit your ideal of the world. So how have you been finding that women who work with you are able to find that balance between being a mother and having a career?
Yeah, I think one of the biggest guideposts that I see when I see a working mom who's working with me start to reach that place of alignment, what really works is when they start to set boundaries, both not only just externally, right? And that looks like time, only working a certain frame of time, leaving it at work, those sorts of things, but also internal boundaries. So like, what are they allowing to come into their mind, or even, you know, what are they allowing into their energy?
Right. There's
so many
to digest.
Yeah, there's so many conversations that happen around them, and it's like, are they going to tune into that, or are they going to say, no, I'm going to leave the room, right? I'm not going to accept those conversations, because sometimes it's even women that have those conversations about working moms or their children. It can be really condescending and really hard to listen to. And so for my clients, it's setting internal boundaries and knowing when enough is enough and being able to walk away or even to stand up, depending on what the experience is.
So helpful to have someone like you who can offer the guidance on that, because usually if you're struggling in that department, you haven't had it modeled. And I think even for men in their working environment, then if they are the ones that are that masculine expression, it can be overgiving and never enough time to like rejuvenate and to restore at the end of the day and to receive the fruits of your energy expenditure.
Right.
So because as women, we're using a lot of that masculine drive. And then still having mothering is a masculine effort. Very much so. So you actually were very like, we're negating our own replenishment in a lot of ways, even if we think that like we're being nurturing. It's mothering is a give masculine. So anyway, I think that's kind of an interesting concept for everyone to create more balance in the workplace through that understanding. And so through it's all unpacking this programming.
Yeah, I love the way that you articulated all of that. I think that that's a great way to see it, because it's so much more than just, you know, female, male. It's definitely...
I think there's a dominant problem for mothers, for sure. I think it's why a lot of us end up being so creative and working within the confines of that. But I do see that it's impacting so many other people too.
And you can, as a woman, have these tools like NLP or, you know, whatever tool you seek. There are tools out there to help you in those situations.
Yeah. Well, I want to talk more about parenting in general, but before we do, can we talk a quick minute about a mocktail I'm into?
Yeah, of course.
All right. So have you tried many mocktails, and what do you think?
I have not tried many mocktails in my non-pregnant existence, but when I was pregnant, I was all about the pineapples and the cherries and anything sweet that you know, came my way.
I love that. So I have a whole little PDF on my website that you can go find some mocktail recipes, and I wanted to give you guys one of them that's in there. It's called the Pomegranate Spritzer. So it's great really any time of year. That's why I wanted to mention it, because you can sort of change up herbs according to the season. So right now I'm loving rosemary in it, but also mint or basil is nice as we get into spring and summer. So essentially you start by dissolving a teaspoon of honey or raw sugar into a cup of warm water. Make like a simple syrup. Then you fill a glass with ice, add 2 tablespoons or like up to 1/4 cup of pomegranate juice. Or you can also substitute this for tart cherry. And you kind of fill it up with your sparkling mineral water. You add garnishes and anything else that you want in there along with the syrup. It's really, really good. So if you want the full recipe, you can check it out on my website, or it's in the Nourish You ebook that's also linked in the show notes below with other great food recipes. So let's talk a little bit more about how you yourself are finding some balance in motherhood and career.
Yeah. So I have 3 boys, all under the age of 8. And so finding balance is something that is a practice.
Yeah.
I laugh at that because it truly is a practice. I was preparing for today, and I had was reminding myself about patience. Mm-hmm. It's 8:30 in the morning every day.
Yeah.
It never changes. It's the same thing every day. They got to get their shoes on. They got to get ready to get out the door. And yet I'm consistently challenged at that time.
Yeah.
And so for me, it is going inside, controlling that internal environment. And it sounds so scientific, and sometimes it is really scientific for me because I have to be scientific about it, but it's reminding myself, offering myself grace, in those specific moments.
Mm-hmm.
There is a little bit of a plan in terms of balance, right? I pepper in self-care, every now and again. I committed myself to 1 self-care item a month, and that is something that is part of the whole plan. I have an app that I've been really into that maybe I can offer you to link into the notes as well. I love it. Offers affirmations, meditations. It's like the one-stop shop for all moms in terms of that sort of practice, the mindfulness practice, which is also something I'm rooted in. And so that's part of the overall plan. But the practice of it is just that. It's a practice act, and I'm not perfect at it, but at least I have the tools to access when I need to access them and when I know I should be accessing them.
It's so neat that I think both you and I have it in common that we started out this kind of overall wellness journey through like thought process.
Mm-hmm.
And so I started doing yoga when I was 19. So then by the time my 22-year-old self realizes, like there's a long time in there to start realizing like, oh, like there's a mindful problem here that's creating this, it's manifesting in actual 3D reality. And I think you found your way there also, but then along the way you start to see how it impacts your eating and your mindfulness around your body health. It starts to trickle into even that like essential piece, like you've been talking about, like your soul and just knowing how to be more intentional in nourishing all 3 aspects of yourself.
Yeah.
So do you find that being intentional about just like the verbiage, the neurolinguistic verbiage that you're using as set points throughout your day, as well as these other key points, is what's helping you find some balance, even though perfect balance is never attained?
Yeah.
It's a juggling act all the time.
Yes. And I think that's also part of the fun of it too. Mm-hmm. You're constantly trying to find what works for you. And through the process, you're not just finding what works for you, you're also finding bits of you that you haven't discovered.
Yeah.
Because you haven't gone on that journey, right? So the mindfulness piece is a big piece of it for me. It's also a big piece of it too, just relating back to my kids. I do a lot of especially with my soon-to-be 8-year-old, a lot of guided, almost meditations that are really elementary in nature, but just helping him create. Lately, we've been creating this very happy place in his mind, which he goes to when he wants to, and it really resonates with him, and it's powerful for him. But that comes through mindfulness, right? We practice breathing. When he's got a new adventure coming up, we practice breathing and bringing him back to that present space. And I've even asked him to lead me in some breaths. And it's beautiful because he doesn't know what he's doing really in that. It's this beautiful practice that will help him long term. He's just having fun with it. And that's kind of what I've hoped for him, is just to have fun with it. Also in the balancing space too is gratitude, showing gratefulness. So sitting down to eat, that mindfulness and being grateful for food. Some people practice it in prayer. For me, it's a little bit of that, and it's a little bit just, you know, I'm gonna eat food now and I'm grateful for where it comes from and, you know, the taste of it and things like that. But also like bringing it back to kids and parenting. The best thing, my 8-year-old had some struggles sleeping and staying in his bed, and we've started to incorporate a gratitude practice at night. So naming three things right before bedtime that he's grateful for. And it's the same three things every night, but he lights up inside, and it brings him, his nervous system, to a place of rest and peace. And that's also something that we practice, which is wonderful. And it's giving and nourishing to me too.
I bet you give that gift to a lot of moms, just these little techniques that you're bringing your work into your parenting. And then I'm sure that you also can take that experience to your clients and help them become coaches of their own, which is why that work with moms is so powerful.
Yeah.
That's really great. And it is fun.
Yeah. I'm a firm believer that like moms are going to change the world because we have impact on our littles.
Yeah.
And when we can impact even our community, the ripple effect is just that much more powerful. So
even more the reason for them to be supported and have rights respected in the workplace. What about your clients themselves who maybe are really looking at it more, the work with you at their own programming? Can you walk us through maybe an example of what that looked like for someone?
Yeah.
So that if someone's listening and it's like, I think this really resonates, I need to do this work. Like, what kinds of things did she go through? What could people expect?
Yeah. So I had a client, she was about to return to work. So she was currently on maternity leave. And I think she was about a week away from returning to work, maybe even a couple of days. And she kept having these very powerful negative emotions towards returning to work. And I'm not going to name them, but I bet you can imagine kind of what they are. And it had taken a few sessions to lead up to her acknowledgement that there were certain things coming into play that was bringing her into this place of just negative emotions. And a lot of it was tied to returning to work. Sure. And so she had decided to do this practice, this technique rooted in NLP, and practice. It's a visualization practice, but it's also a little bit of a somatic exercise too, because you're moving your body.
Yeah.
And so basically, without going into too much detail, I had her really step into her negative emotion. So feel it enough to understand it, to know where it lives inside of her body, to be able to acknowledge in any given moment. And then I had her step from the space that she was in, like physically move away from whatever space she was in. And I had her then imagine something happy, right? Because she wanted to feel happiness. That was something that she wanted to feel. She identified that was her ideal in that moment, was to just feel happy. And so she was able to imagine a very happy place for her, really not just envision it, but again, hear it, hear the sounds of her happy spot, I think she was able to smell some, I think it was like almost like a carnival space, that sort of sensation of smelling it. And then I had her step even out of that, right? So now she's in this neutral space. Then I had her identify color. So it's a whole process.
Yeah.
So she identified blue as her color. So then I had her look at the color blue, step back onto her happy space, and now there's association happening. So she's happy in her happy space, and now she's looking at the color blue. And so I had her, again, sink back into that happy space, being able to identify in her body where that happy space is. What does it feel like? How does it? How is it showing up in her body? What's her breathing like? Just really tune into her body. And while she's envisioning this color blue, and from there, the association, we did that a few more times, the association was so strong between the color blue and the color and the happy, I had her step back into her neutral space. And then I had her envision her first day of work back, right?
Yeah.
And it got her back into this not so great place. But now she has the color blue. So then we associated the color blue with her first day back at work. And it became to this space where she had that color blue to be able to reflect on and look at. And when she came to the, when she looked at that color blue, she was able to experience all of the happiness that she experienced in her happy space. And so when she went back to work, she was able to then take that with her as a tool. So it wasn't so strong.
She had practiced the physiology in her body, what it's doing, what the breath is doing, what the heart rate's doing, what the shoulders are doing when she's in that happy mode. And then to also see, I'm guessing there's also some mind work there too. So what are you believing when you're feeling this way, and what are you believing when you're feeling this way, and how those are linked to the physiology of it all.
And that was the work that we did working up to that session, is really uncovering some of that so that she could get to that place of, okay, we've now uprooted those thoughts and those beliefs and that language so that we can replant this positive imagery, this positive association, and then move forward.
And then underneath all of that, too, is now these new beliefs about who she is when she's feeling that calm blue imagery. So there's now that being brought into the same exact situation, and it's almost like it just shifts the reality completely, because when we change our thoughts, we change everything.
And that, it's totally true.
It can happen in an instant.
And it's the best moment when you're a coach, when it happens. It's like an aha moment. We call it the aha moments, right? The moments of awareness where, you know, it's just beautiful. It's like the whole world lights up for the client. And it, to be a part of that moment. And sometimes as a coach, you're not a part of that moment. It happens outside of a session. And that's okay too. Whenever it happens, it's just beautiful when it happens.
It is. That's so exciting and very gratifying, I'm sure, for you.
And
so you can be found on Instagram most readily.
Okay.
So we'll link your Instagram, and you've got a free newsletter that's got really wonderful information for people. What else would you like to say about your offerings?
So I do offer one-on-one coaching, as well as, again, social media. I'm going to be opening up some group coaching in the future. But for right now, it's one-on-one coaching.
I love that.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think you're so powerful one-on-one. And I know that if you have some kind of group container at some point for the collective, will ripple even bigger.
And I do offer virtual as well as in-person as well. So
Courtney's here in Tempe, Arizona, in this amazing space by the lake. It's so tranquil and such a good space. It just feels so good in here. Thank you for having me here. I wish you and your children well. And on the note of children, I want to invite everybody to come over to my YouTube channel to check out a tutorial. It's a pose called Child's Pose, which our kids are so brilliant at taking care of their bodies in this way, but it can alleviate adults who are finding low back and hip discomfort and less mobility as we grow. So take a look at that. Or if you are in Tempe and you need some coaching from Courtney, or you want to pop over to One Tribe Yoga, I am there teaching a variety of beginner and advanced classes, Tuesday, Wednesdays, and Fridays. And I'll link the schedule below. So let's close this out. Let's all sit up nice and tall and take a few deep breaths in through your nose as you close your eyes and settle your shoulders. Just gather and take whatever you've gained from our time together today. Remember to think kind and peaceful thoughts about yourself and others, to speak from that place of integrity, and to move forward in giving action. Thanks so much for being here today. Thank you for sharing, and it really helps us get all of this great positivity and light out into the world around us.